Let's worship the Lord for his greatness and his goodness. Almighty God, you live forever. We bless you, we exalt you. Thank you for who you are. Be thou exalted, our Father, the God that never failed, the God that never changed, mighty Redeemer. We bless you tonight for another privilege to come before you. Lord, thank you, Lord, because you are ever there for us. Be thou exalted, be thou glorified. Teach us your word once again. Honor your word in our lives. Give us understanding of the word. O Lord, that there shall be greater results in our lives in the name of Jesus. As we listen to your word, as we put your word to practice. Almighty God, we shall have resolve to defeat the forces of wickedness in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed Father, we pray tonight that you will speak to us. Bless our soul, bless our mind, bless our thoughts, that we shall be able to speak just as you speak. We shall be able to hear just as you hear. We shall be able to do just as you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, precious Father, we pray that you have your way tonight. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's be seated. We're talking tonight on Christ's method in raising disciples. When you understand the method that Christ used to raise his disciples, then you will know how to fit in to be a disciple of the Master. In this discipleship training, there is nothing in Christianity that is as important as it is. It's not the healing, it's not the prosperity, it's not the miracles, it is discipleship. That's the most important thing in the kingdom business. In the book of Mark in chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 13, say, and he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. You see Jesus' method. He went up to the mountain. He called those people that would be with him. He called unto him the people he wants. And they came unto him. And he ordained them that they would go, that they should be with him. First of all, they have to be with him. Then he have to send them out to preach. And not only that, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Praise the Lord. To have power to heal and to cast out devils. Praise the Lord. So you can see Jesus' method. He wants people that will be with him. He wants people that will learn his ways. He wants people that he will anoint with his power. The power to cast out devils. Many people today are in church, they have no power to heal the sick. They have no power to cast out the devil because they have never been with Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be in church for many years, but you will find it difficult when you see a sick man. You cannot even be able to pray in faith because you are afraid. What of if he's not healed? What of this and what of that? Because you have not learned the method of Jesus. You have not been discipled by him. So he gave them power to heal and to cast out devils. There are so many devils in the world, and Jesus wants devils to be cast out. So he decided to raise disciples, people that will be with him, people that will learn his method, people that can carry out his message. Praise the Lord. So the desire of God is to produce disciples in you and also to make you a discipler. That's God's desire. Produce a disciple in you and make you to disciple others. For you to be able to cooperate with his working method. His method is unique, that you must draw near to him and dwell with him to learn from him. The method of the Lord is unique. It's not what you can find every other place. Because he is God and he's a unique God. So you must be able to cooperate with his working methods, and you will be able to dwell with him, then learn from him. Matthew chapter 11. You dwell with him and you learn from him. It is when you learn from a master, then can you practice what the master is doing. Matthew 11, 28. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my body is light. Praise the Lord. Come unto me. The first thing, come. If you don't come, you will not receive from him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Truly, the people are labored and they are heavy. They have loads. Who is it you see in the world today that is not carrying load? You see people have load, but yet they don't want to come to the master who can take their load from them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. They labor, they carry loads. He said, I will give you rest. The people have no rest. It's only in Jesus we have rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn my method. Learn my process of doing it. Learn my ways of doing it. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. You see people jumping up and down, frustrated, troubled, in all manner of things. Oh, blessed God. May the Lord give us grace to follow this master in Jesus' name. Yes. The people have no rest in their soul. They are troubled. They are worried. They are jumping up and down. They are like people. That's why they are sick. That's why they are beaten. They are frustrated. The troubles of the world is eating them up. But why? Because they are not learning from the master. They are not coming to the one that has the solution. For my yoke is easy and my body is light. I have a light body to give you. Why do you go and carry the yoke of the enemy? Come and learn of me. Jesus wants us to come and learn of him. Hallelujah. His method is, number one, you can discover he selected the men to train and concentrated on the few of them. Jesus selected people to train them and concentrated on the few of them. Because the few of them will perform better than just gathering all manner of people. Few of them. In Mark chapter 10. In verse 1. He said, and he arose from thence and coming into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resorted unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the disciples came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? The Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? Now you see, the Bible says, he cometh into the coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resorted unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. So he selected people to teach them. Teach them. He was always teaching the people. Teaching them what he wanted them to do. It was there the Pharisees came, and they came not to learn. They came to tempt him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, again in verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. You see how he selected people. The Bible says he appointed 70. 70 also. And send them, not only the 12, 70, other 70. Send them two and two before his face into every city and place which he himself would come. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Disciples are laborers. Amen. There are people who labor for the kingdom. There are people who labor. Those who you see, they are not laboring for the kingdom. They are not disciples. Disciples have already come to understand the method of the master. So they labor for the work. They are concerned. They are interested in joining him to do the work of the kingdom. So Jesus selected and trained men. He concentrated on few people. These people that are not much, he was always teaching them. You see, every time he takes them to the mountain, he will teach them, he will train them, he will tell them, this is what you needed to do, this is how you need to do it. And they were also exercising themselves and were doing it. Praise the Lord. They were doing it. Not today, that you will be talking to people, you say, go and do, and that's where they, from there, go away. Praise the Lord. In number two, he ministered to the multitudes to arouse their interest to be willing to follow. His purpose of ministry to the multitude was to arouse their interests, to be willing to follow. So Jesus didn't concentrate on the multitude. He speak to them, do signs and wonders in their midst, preach to them to arouse their interest. That's what you see in a general meeting. We come, we preach, and we want to arouse the interest of people. At the end of the day, how many people? Only few, maybe only few are interested. The other ones, where are they? They have gone to their houses. That's the multitude. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, in verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Amen. The multitude, he went into the mountain. But the multitude didn't go to the mountain. Because the multitude are not interested in what Jesus wanted to teach. The multitude, that's why you can't see a serious belief. You can, right from the time I got born again, you only see serious believers attending Bible study. Praise the Lord. Only serious Christians attend Bible study. It's not today it started. Those who want to know, those who are interested, those who want to grow, those who want to be a disciple, those who want to contribute to the kingdom purpose, they are the ones that attend Bible study. All over the place. Other people attend maybe revival meeting or Sunday worship service because they are multitude. They just don't want to draw them. They don't want to get involved. Praise the Lord. That's why most of the time, we must look at the interest of the people in getting involved in this work. It's interest. You can't force anybody to be a disciple. Amen. You can't force anybody to be a worker in the church. You can't force anybody. You, no matter how you try, he won't meet up because he has no interest. He has no interest. Sometimes we even try to force people to be a con leaders in church. For what? How? They will never meet up. Let's understand these discipleship methods of Jesus Christ. The multitude did not go to the mountain. Only the disciple came unto him and he opened his mouth and taught them. Praise the Lord. You can see people having excuses upon excuses. A disciple do not have excuse. Praise God. Praise God. A disciple never have excuse. That, oh, you see, I'm walking. That's why. No, you saw it in Luke chapter 9. There's no excuse for a disciple. There's no excuse. Because they are interested. They drop everything. They burn the bridge. They drop the load to go to Jesus. To learn of him. To be taught of him. May God really help us in Jesus' name. I am praying those of you who are passing through this, I call it training. These Tuesdays, we will be teaching on discipleship. Or rather Wednesday. Those of you who are passing through, may there be results in your life. In Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. In verse 1 again. The Bible says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Now look at something here. When he came down, when he was come down from the mountain, why did this multitude go to the mountain? Praise God. It is when he came down from the mountain that the multitude followed him. They didn't go to the mountain to learn the method of Jesus. They are waiting for him to come down. Let this our pastor go mountain, come back from mountain. We'll come and preach to us and bless us. Multitudes. Praise the Lord. Let them come and bless us. Let them come and pray for us. Let this man of God just come and heal us. That's the desires of the multitude. They don't want to know. They don't want to know how do they heal? How do they pray for people? They are not interested about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he ministered to the multitude to arouse their interest and to be willing to follow. When you are in the multitude and you have been ministered to, it is expected that you are interested and you come out to follow. That's expectation. But when you didn't show interest, it shows that you just want to remain a multitude. Praise the Lord. Number three, he insisted that his disciples stayed with him and stayed closer as the training ended. Even after training them, he will insist that his disciples stay with him and stay closer. Amen. Not that after training they have gone. If you leave, then how are we going to practice what you have been trained about? How? In Matthew 26, in verse 36. Matthew 26, in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and say unto disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Amen. Can you see what he did with disciples? Stay with me. Everything. He was the teaching there, and they were aware of what he was passing through. Tarry ye here. Watch with me. So, you should be able to know what I am doing. You should be able to know what I'm passing through. That is the method that Jesus used to raise his disciples. You know, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? So he wanted the disciples to watch with him. He wants disciples to stay with him. He wants disciples to remain with him. Very important. Very, very important. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Then cometh to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that dealt betray me. Amen. The disciples stay with the master. They learn everything, the method, what he passed through, everything that he went through. They were aware. A disciple is not somebody who is far away from his leader, who is far away from his mentor, and he doesn't know anything. And he wants to go and represent that person that you don't know. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. That's why you see so many times, you see some church members, they talk bad about their pastors because they don't even know the man. They don't even know. They only hear what they hear somewhere, or they see. Maybe they didn't see well. That's what they are saying. A person who's close to somebody, who knows the person very well, he cannot go and bite the person or talk bad about the person. Because he knows. He knows everything. So these are the people, you see the way these disciples stay, they stay seriously with Jesus, and they were able to know what he passed through, his suffering, his pain, his time of relaxation, when he eats, when he didn't eat, and all of those things. They were aware. So Jesus' method of discipleship is that he insisted that the disciples stayed with him and stay closer. Stay closer. After teaching, you still know, must be able to know what goes on later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number four, he allowed his disciples to be around while he ministered. When he ministers, he allowed them to be around him. Is it not when you are around, when your leader is ministering, you'll be able to know how to minister as well? In Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and I'm not to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, when shall we have so much bread in the wilderness, so to feed so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few little fishes. And a few little fishes. And Jesus said unto him, how many loaves are? And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Praise God. You see these methods? They stayed with, if they were not there when he was ministering to the people, would they be able to assist him? He prayed for the, he break the bread, gave it to the disciple, the disciple gave it to the multitude. So they assisted him in the ministry. They assisted him in doing the work. Somebody who is not following what the leader is doing, how will he be able to assist him? How will somebody who didn't know what I am teaching come and climb the pulpit and teach the people exactly what I'm teaching? No. Praise God. Praise God. Very, very important. Took the seven loaves and the fishes, gave thanks, break them, gave to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. So they were aware how the food multiplied. They saw how they were sharing the food and it was increasing. We're sharing was given. They too will be wondering. Praise the Lord. Somebody who is not with his disciple, who is not with his master, how will he know when things are happening? How certain things are done? That's why sometimes you will preach and preach and preach. You will talk and talk and talk. Some people will be doing negative things. Negative things, because they never follow. They never listen. They never even stay with you to know how these things are done. Hallelujah. Amen. In number five, he urged those who will follow him to count the cost. Hallelujah. I love this point. He urged those who will follow him to count the cost. One of the failures in among believers today is that many do not count the costs. What you want to go into, you don't count the cost. Jesus urged those that will follow him to count the cost. Luke chapter 14. Count the cost. You want to go and buy something in the market? You don't know how much it costs, how much they are selling it. They just say, I want to go and buy a car. You don't even know the cost. Or you don't know that when you buy a car, you need to put fuel inside. You don't know that you need to maintain the car after buying it. Count the cost. That's how so many people go into the church and they start become complainers and gossipers and murmurers because they never count the cost of being a disciple. If you want to follow Jesus, count the cost. Luke chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 28, for which of you intended to build a tower, seated not down first, and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Count the cost. Can I run this race? Am I ready to give myself to this business? Hi! I pray that God will not meet us in a terrible state in Jesus' name. Listen to me. God never changed. He never changed. If you are deceived by anything out there, that's your problem. The same method he has been using many years ago is what he's still using up to today. Even the devil, the same thing. The same thing he has been doing when he deceived Adam and Eve. The same thing is what he's still doing up to today. But people cannot learn. They won't know. They won't see. So, which of you intended to build a suburb without sitting down first, whether and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? This happening after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, and all that behold him began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What a terrible thing. Verse 31 again. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitting on down fair and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000 or end? Why the other is yet a great way off, he sent an embassy and desiring conditions of peace. This is what so many people are doing. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not bread and butter. It's righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace. You want to enter into this business. You don't know that there is a devil who is against the children of God. So is it after you have entered now, you start looking for Satan to say, sorry, I don't know that it's a problem. I don't know you are going to be attacking my family. I don't know you are going to be fighting me. I'm sorry, I am no more interested. Praise the Lord. Sitting down first, counting the cost. Whether you are able to fight the one coming to you with 20,000 with 10,000, or you need to increase your own number. So dearly beloved, Jesus demand counting costs. Count the costs. Can I serve this master? Can I follow him? There's one of my message, the cost of following Jesus to heaven. It's costly. Praise the Lord. If you want to follow Jesus to heaven, you must count the costs. It's not cheap. Good things are not cheap. Hallelujah. So if somebody want to follow such person like this, you should be ready to say, okay, I'm going to do like this, I will do like this, this is how I will program myself, I will organize myself like this, I will be doing this at this time, I'll be doing this at this time, I'll be doing this at this time because this is what I want to do. That's counting cost. But somebody will just go there, let me just go. If anyone feel do, I do.
May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Again, number 6, he demanded consecration from him. He demanded consecration from them who are going to follow him. He demanded consecration to count the cost. So, he takes consecration to count the cost. Consecration. In this same place we read, you discover that for a man to count cost, he has to be consecrated to that business. Which of you intended to build a tower without sitting? The process of sitting down first is consecration. Praise the Lord. Sitting not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. When you sit down, that is where you now start praying. Oh Lord, I am ready to do this business now. I want to follow you now. Oh Lord, give me grace. I need to be able to do this. I need to be able to handle my work. I need to be able to handle my business. I need to be able to handle my family. I need to be able to handle my children. I need to be able to handle my finances. Oh Lord, my father. That's consecration. That leads you to prayer. So you see that people who, the multitude, they are not consecrated because they don't want to drop something for the master. No, they don't want. They want to maintain their life while they are following Jesus. Maintain my business while following Jesus. No, it must cost you something. Praise the Lord. If it didn't cost you something, then you are not a disciple. Number 7. He gave himself away to those he was making disciples. He gave himself away to them. He gave himself away to them. In John chapter 13, and truly you will see. And that is what the benefit a disciple will receive from the master. In John chapter 13, from verse 1, the Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. When he knew that he was departing, having loved his own, you see what he did to them. The Bible says, and the supper being ended, the devil having not put it in the heart of Judas to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things unto his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he arrived from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and guided himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel wherewith he was guided. That is giving yourself away, praise God, to the people that followed him. So they tell people, I say, what I'm doing now, you will not know. He gave himself away. He gave himself away to them. Because he had loved them to the end. They have followed him. People who are not following the master, how can they really enjoy the love of God? One of the things that endowed me to be committed and consecrated to Jesus from day one is because I need the love of God. I just want to be loved by God. Praise God. A child that follow his father, the father will love him. Is that not true? Yes. If you follow your father to farm, follow him to business, follow everything you need, your father will give you because anytime he calls, you are there. Come, who is there? You are there. Who is there? You are there. Joshua was following Moses up and down to the point that he went to the mountain to meet with God. For 40 days, the Bible says Joshua stayed by the side of the mountain. While others were committing immorality there and doing all manner of things, they come there. Joshua was by the side of the mountain. So when Moses came down from the mountain, he met Joshua. Praise the Lord. God didn't call Joshua. It was Moses God called. Amen. Hallelujah. He met Joshua. So when Moses was going to give up the ministry, was going away, what did God do? He said, Joshua, anoint him. Praise the Lord. He's the next person in line. Because he has learned the process. He has learned the process. He can't just go and pick somebody from inside those places and say, come back. What did he know? Where is the commitment? Where is the consecration? Hallelujah. The Lord will help our commitments. Will help us to be able to give ourselves to this work in Jesus' name. Number 8, he demonstrated a vision to them and allowed them to learn from his life and service. He demonstrated his vision to them and allowed them to learn from his life and service. He showed them his vision. He told them what he was doing, what he wanted to do. I'm going to meet my father. I came here to do this. I came here to do that. So I will go. I will return again. All of those things. He told them everything. He told them everything. He allowed them to learn from his life and service. Why he was serving God, how he was doing everything. They were learning. They were learning. Hallelujah. In verse 8 of that John chapter 13, look at it. He said, Peter said unto him, thou shalt not wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every week. And ye are clean, but not all. Praise the Lord. Now, Peter said, when he saw him washing him, his disciples' feet, Peter said, "You will not wash my feet." And Jesus said, "I will wash your feet. If I don't wash you, you will not have part with me." Eh? So, this is training, physical training, discussion. You will have part with me. Eh? I say, is he as serious as that? Okay, wash my head. Wash every part of me. So, they learn from his service. They learn everything from him. So, Peter will be able to learn his way of dealing with people.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus said, "I don't need to wash all your body. Only your feet is enough. Only your feet is enough." In verse 13, he said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Amen. You can see that's why disciples always know how to serve. Because they don't find it difficult with loving people. Because they have learned it from the master. But you see, all these people are not disciples. They are the people who are causing confusion in church. Causing confusion in the body of Christ. Gossiping, talking, doing that. Because they are not disciples. That's why every one of us must learn this method. If you try to make people to become leaders by force, when they don't show commitment, leave it. It's better one person is doing the work. And then just gathering people who are going to fight you to become your assistant. Praise the Lord. It's better one person is doing it until you get somebody who will know what to do. Let's learn now the Jesus method. Jesus cannot go and carry people from anywhere. Just come and put them there so that he will feel everywhere. Say, at least we have, if we call leaders meeting, we are 50, we are 100. And many of them are witches and wizards. It's not done. Praise God. Praise God. That's one of the things affecting the church today. We are very fast recruiting people. We are very fast bringing people. You don't even know them. They don't know you. They don't even know God. Just that people we saw, that people say the church is growing. Is the church really growing now? I'm talking about one of these ministries where they say many of them are witches. I say, okay, if they are witches, if all these people are witches, and they are leaders, they are witches and wizards, how do you do your ministry like that? How? What's causing all those things? Because you don't know people. Somebody met me sometimes ago and was telling me that they went to a particular church, and as soon as he just got there, before you know it, the pastor called him and said he want to make him a branch pastor. He told him, he said, "This is one of the things that is making me to run. Run, come here, and I never even sit down here, and you won't make me pastor. You know me." Praise the Lord. Do you know me? That is the problem the church is having today. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have people the leaders, they say, don't even know the people. They just put them there. They are multiplying all manner of sinners. Everywhere they multiply them. They fool everywhere. Their leaders are sinners. They themselves are sinners. Jesus will never do that. Praise the Lord. He took time to know the people he was working with. He took time to know them. He was not in a hurry. Today we're in a hurry. Where our hurry, where has he led us now? What have we been able to do? Come on to save a sin, and now it's a problem. Because many of them are now drinking ogogoro, and yet they are waiting for Jesus to come. Praise the Lord. Number 9. He allowed them to make mistakes, and from their mistake reminded them of old lessons and taught them new ones. He allowed them to make mistakes, and from mistakes he would remind them of their old lessons and he would teach them a new one. In Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny
that thou knowest me. Amen.
Now you see, Peter was making a mistake here. He told him, he said, Satan desired to sift you as wheat. He said, I prayed for you when thou converted, strengthened thy brethren. And Peter was saying, even at that, Peter was saying, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. Jesus said, Peter, listen to me. This day, the cock will not crow. Before the cock crow three times, you will deny that you ever know me. I'm telling you that Satan wants to sift you as wheat. You are saying, I will follow you everywhere. Praise the Lord. Verse 54. It says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Eh? You have started denying her now. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. For he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. Praise the Lord. You see, he made a mistake. And from there, he had to learn a lesson. He taught them a lesson from it. So, the thing really happened, just as the pastor said. I'm telling you, Satan wants to sift you and say, I will follow you into prison. You cannot do it. You will deny me. I'm telling you, Peter said, me deny you? No, I cannot. And before you know it, it happened. And he was denying the master. Amen. Amen. So, that is, at the end of the day, Jesus still loved Peter. He didn't throw him away. He didn't say, oh, because you deny me, you are not going to do my work again. You are going to hellfire now. No. In John chapter 21. John 21 verse 15. So when they are dying, Jesus said unto Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, loveth thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, loveth thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, loveth thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Praise the Lord. If you ask somebody like that, three times, he may get angry and go away from you. Love her down me, he say, I love you. Love her down me, he say, I love you. Love her down me, waiting. So, these are things that Jesus was teaching his disciples. And he made them to become solid. That's why somebody that cannot endure with a master, how can that person be a true disciple? It's very difficult. Hallelujah. Number 10, he encouraged them to share their lives together and live at the level of others. He encouraged them to share their lives together and live at the life. That is why you see in Acts of the Apostles, when they came together, the Bible said they had all things in common because that was what Jesus was teaching them. They were always together. Sometimes you call leaders for meeting. You see they are in a hurry. They want to go to their houses. They want to go to their this. You see people who are not disciples, who are not ready. You call them for serious meeting. They want to do this. That's why these days, I'm not in a hurry. Because if somebody is not ready to give out his time, there's no assignment you give to that person where he will not fail. He will still fail you. Praise the Lord. Encourage them to share their lives together. They must be sharing together, coming together, staying together, living together. As the Apostle chapter 2, he said, in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Then all that believed were together and had all things common. You see it? They manifested it. That was what Jesus taught them. They were always eating together. They were always sharing together. They were always living together. Number 11, he delegated his work to disciples with adequate benefiting instructions to follow. He delegated his work to his disciples with adequate benefiting instructions to follow. In Luke chapter 10, you see how he delegated. That, you know, sometimes when you send people, go and do this, they think, say, you know, follow me. Why you not follow us? Go and do it. This was what Jesus was telling them too. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible says, after this thing, verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself will come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scripts, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way, and into whatsoever has ye enter, say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return unto you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into every city ye enter, and they receive you not, eat such. They receive you, eat such things as I said before you. And he the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. But in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the sea, and say, even the very dust of your feet, of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off again. Yea, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near unto you. Praise the Lord. Now, he sent them. He didn't follow them. He didn't follow them. They have to go alone. They have to go. And he told them, this is what you will do there. This is what you will do there. This is what you will do there. This is what you will do when you go. And they went. Praise the Lord. And when they returned back, they said, yes, we saw the devil subject to us by your name. Hallelujah. If you never go on an errand, you never go to a place to go and minister on your own, or they say you go and represent a body, represent a group, you will not know how God save people, how God help people. There are some people, they have never been sent on an errand. And if they go and do this, they say, why did our leader not follow us? Why he send us? Praise the Lord. That's training. That's training method. That's training method. You must be ready to go, represent. You also pray. You build up confidence. That's delegation of duty. Then number 12, he kept close on the disciple as they lived, walked, related, and talked. He kept close to them. Hallelujah. John chapter 21 verse 4. Sue Randall. John 21 verse 4. He said, and finding John 21 verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he gathered his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Praise the Lord. So they never knew that Jesus was nearby them. So he just came, and lo and behold, they discovered he was there. So he was always close to them. Then number 13, he expected them to reproduce through soul winning. That's what John chapter 15 verse 16 says. And he expected them to reproduce soul winning. A disciple that have no soul, has never won a soul, that disciple is not going to, is not active. It's not active. It's not active. John 15 verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever, or rather, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, as a disciple, you must strive for to win a soul. Amen? You must strive to win a soul. You must strive to convince somebody about Jesus and get that person born again. Whichever way you do it, follow up that person, get the person, make the person to know God. That is your fruit to give to the master. So it's not being a disciple and you are not able to convince anybody. Maybe you preach to somebody and the person is not saved, you leave him and go. If the person is not, you, anybody you talk to, you say, let him go. No, you must have a fruit that you can say, this person is a Lord because I encourage him, because I preach to him, because I was very interested about this soul. To know God, that zeal, that desire must be in you. Must be in you. And get the person saved. And you will be able to monitor the person's life. How are you doing? Are you enjoying the salvation of God? Are you enjoying serving God? What is happening around you? You ask questions and the person will tell you. If he's feeling exhausted or he's no more interested, you encourage the person. Praise the Lord. That is reproducing. If you have never seen reproduce yourself in somebody, you have work to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Number 14, he taught them how to motivate others to support the band. John 6 verse 4. Taught them how to motivate others. And as a disciple, you must learn how to motivate other people to support the group. To support the group, to support the church. John chapter 6 verse 4. The Bible says, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was there. When Jesus then lifted up his eye and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone should make every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 belly loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Now, what happened here is that while Jesus was asking them, how do we feed these people? Andrew was looking around, how do we get food? How do we get food? There he discovered that little lad who have these five loaves. Praise the Lord. Yes. And 2 small fishes. Andrew was looking around. Hey, okay, we need to, where will we get bread? Where will we get fish? And while he was looking around, he was able to get this. I say, see you, there's somebody here who have this. Can we use this? Praise the Lord. This is not, it's not many, but this is what I have found. That is how to motivate others to be a part. And that little lad succumbs. If you see, stay there, you don't motivate anybody to join, you don't motivate anybody to be part, you don't motivate anybody, you're just on your own. Discipleship? No, you must be able to motivate others. Hallelujah. 15, he constantly assured their confidence in the truth. He constantly assured their confidence in the truth. That God, right now, John 14, verse 6 to 12, he confidently assured them confidence in the truth. He constantly assured them that this thing works. This thing works. It's not as if, it's something you will do, there is no reward in it. There is a great reward in the thing you are doing. The truth works. Hallelujah. Then, I'm going to round up with number 16. He did not hesitate to repraise and praise the desiring and rebuke the erring, either privately or publicly. Whatsoever it may be, he rebuked those he needed to rebuke and praised those he needed to praise. As you follow the law, these are the things you must expect in the Lord's dealing with you in discipleship. And this method needs to be followed in discipling others. Father, in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, the Bible says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be ye far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, on your own, sit down and read this passage very well. Thou art an offense to me. Get thee behind me, Satan. This is not coded. This is direct. Now, if a leader speaks like this to you, what are you going to do? So me, I'm an offense. Eh? So I am Satan. Ha! No. I cannot follow this man again. Now, these are some of the things I begin to see today in the church. I wonder. You cannot rebuke somebody. If you just tell somebody, come on, what are you doing there? He said, the way he shouted, the way he shot on us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember sometimes ago somebody said to me, he said, you come and be preaching to who you are, you will be angry. You'll be angry. Angry of what? What of if I'm angry, really? Is it a sin? You never see Jesus angry. Praise the Lord. So to correct people now become difficult because they will capitalize on it. They will hold on to it. They will leave you because of it. Oh, may the Lord raise us true disciples in Jesus' name. We are talking about, look at what Jesus said to Peter. You are offense to me. You are Satan. So very important thing. When it's time to rebuke, he rebuke. If it's time to praise, he praise. Oh, thank God for the work this person has done. Look at the way he has helped this area. Look at the way he labored in this thing. Look at what he did in this thing. That is the way disciples are raised. I pray that God will help you to understand Jesus' method in Jesus' name. And listen to me, if it is the work of God we want to do, we cannot do it by worldly methods. Amen? You know, some people come up today with worldly methods of raising disciples. You cannot do it in the worldly way. No. 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 The world learns from God, not God learning from the world. Not God learning from the world. So we must go follow Jesus' method. We must follow Jesus' method. Those who are sincere, who are serious, who are interested, they will push themselves into it. Thank God the Bible says many are called, few are chosen. If it is few that are willing to become disciples, let them be. Just as I was saying, is it on Sunday or so, the multitude can be there. We don't pursue the multitude away. They can come to church. Nobody said don't come to church. Praise the Lord. But if it comes to dealing with serious people, we know who we are dealing with. Amen. Hallelujah. God will raise you up as a true disciples. May he use you to disciple others in Jesus' name. May you have testimony in this work in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will encourage you to follow and not give up in Jesus' name. You see how Peter and Co. follow to the end. Even till they die. That's the life of a disciple. A disciple never get discouraged in following the master. A disciple never get fed up, never get tired. Nothing. Push, turn the back. When you put your hand to the plow, looking back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. I see so many people looking back. After they started this journey, they are starting to look at the world. They are starting to measure themselves with the things of the world. We have come to the kingdom. This kingdom of his dear son. We either succeed or we die. Amen. That's my own result. It's not that, oh, let us enjoy the world. We don't want to die now, oh God. We either succeed in this business or we die. So there's no other place to go. Praise the Lord. That's discipleship. The people who follow Jesus, really, they never went back. In some of them, they die anyhow. What does that mean? It's a life and death matter. It's not a matter of let's save our life. They that will save their life will lose it. Rise up on your feet. Ask God for grace to be a disciple. The grace to follow Jesus truly and follow his method in your life and even in helping others to become a disciple. Almighty God, I ask for that grace upon my life to be a true disciple and to help others, to disciple others in the name of Jesus. I pray, O Lord, give me grace that I will not turn back on the way, that I will not give up in following, that I will not turn back. The world is always around us. You see worldly people, they will accuse you, they will tell you story, and you go to church. You, what have you done now? What's your business? What I have done now? What's your business? If I beg you to give me food to eat, you don't give me. You don't need to listen to any worldly man, any worldly woman who is not a Christian telling you, accusing you. What have you done? And who are you now? And how many car have you bought? What's your business? Oh Lord, give me grace to be a true disciple in the name of Jesus. I want to follow this master to the end. I want to follow him truly. I want to follow him sincerely. I want to learn his ways. I want to learn his methods. I want to be part of him. I just don't want to know, to see him. I want to know him. I don't just want to see him and say, oh, I saw Jesus somewhere. Oh, he appeared to me somewhere. I want to know him. I want to be a part of him. I want to be a part of him. I want to be his own. I want him to be my own. Oh Lord, give me grace to continue in this matter, to continue in this business without giving up. Don't be tired in following him in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your strength come upon me. Let your wisdom come upon me that as I live in this world, the way of discipleship will become clearer to me on a daily basis. When you are a disciple of the master, every master keep his own. Every master protect his own. Every master will provide for his own. Every master will assist his own. There is nothing to fear. Oh, will I have food to eat? Will I get this? Will I not get that? What are you going to be afraid of? When you have a master, you are relating with him. You are discussing with him. He will never abandon you. Can Jesus abandon his disciple? For what? What will make him to abandon his disciple? Somebody that even care for the multitude. Is he his disciple he will abandon? He never abandon his own. Almighty Father, I pray that my eyes shall be on you continually, perfectly, totally, all the time. I don't want to give up following you. I don't want to be looking at the world and looking at you at the same time. No. Let my two eyes be on you. When you put everything about you on Jesus, you are sure that he will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. He will never leave you behind. He will never say, oh, this one you are not interested. How do you follow a man and the man will abandon you? Never. He will never abandon you. If the man is a sincere human being, you cry to him, he will say, don't worry. We are going to do like this. This is the next thing we are going to do now. This is the step we are going to take now. That's how the Lord take care of his own. Almighty Father, I want to follow the master to the end. I want to follow the truth to the end. I want to follow the church where I am taught and follow the way that I am taught so that I will have testimony at the end of the day. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, because I know you are able to do all things. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to pray for you. This Jesus method of discipleship, I pray you will be able to abide with it in Jesus' name. I pray that God will sanctify your heart. I pray that God will work on you. I pray that God will raise you for himself. I pray that you'll be an instrument in his hand in Jesus' name. I pray that you will not turn back from following the master in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll be patient enough to learn from him and to practice his ways and practice his method in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you have fruit in serving God. You'll be able to raise others. You'll be able to convince others in this hard and difficult time that the grace of God will be multiplied upon your life in Jesus' name. God will care for you. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.